Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, October 24, 2016. I am Jason Powell and joined today by Jake Barnett. Coming up after the break for non-members, we will be discussing Flow Sports attempting to move into the streaming of pro wrestling events business and also the very latest on the TNA, Impact Wrestling, and Billy Corgan legal debacle. Well, the big news of the day, I guess, would seem to be Flow Sports, and there's nothing official on this yet, Jake. We can tell people that they have a website. I mean, the website's been up and running for some time. They have secured $21.2 million in funding from multiple companies, and WWE is included in those investors. And all indications are that there's an announcement coming soon, officially from this Austin, Texas-based company, regarding their intention to move into the streaming of pro wrestling events. And is there any indication right now, Jake, as to who they have partnered up with as far as potential wrestling companies?
No. I can't really find any direct indication yet. And let's be fair, I guess this is pre-announcement, yeah. And the sign-up page may be hazy on details, specifically because they haven't made their public announcement. And so, you know, judging based on this, it's hard to tell exactly what this is going to be. I mean, for instance, they mention, you know, archived event library, but they don't really say whether that would include historical content or whether that was just live events that they had previously streamed in the past. They also list, what you're getting from a Flow Pro membership in one of the frequently asked questions towards the bottom. And it lists, you know, getting this membership not only would get you access to, you know, whatever pro wrestling content they have, but, you know, whatever other, NCAA or amateur sports or whatever other things that they MMA. Cover. MMA, correct. But it also says, please note that this is not a pay-per-view subscription. And so I'm not sure, you know, what the terminology they're going after means there, but whether it means they are going to cover live events but not pay-per-views or, you know, in a pro wrestling context, I don't know exactly what that means.
I wonder, let's say it's Ring of Honor. Let's say Ring of Honor's in business, hypothetically speaking here. They may not be. We don't know at this point. I think we'll have a lot of answers by the time, as the week goes on, I'm certainly hoping, by the time you and I get together for .NET Weekly for members on Thursday, I'm hoping we have a lot of answers. But let's just hypothetically say it's Ring of Honor. Maybe they're going to stream some of their live events, but then the actual pay-per-view events will still be available through pay-per-view television, and you have to pay separately for those. And even, you know, I don't know what would be I mean, we've seen other groups there's an app that broadcasts TNA and Ring of Honor events, and so maybe Flow would be able to actually run those on their service as well, but you have to pay the actual pay-per-view price for something like that. Does that sound reasonable?
I guess anything's in the realm of possibility at this point. I think it's possible. I guess for my money, I'm probably not going to use this service for much other than pro wrestling. So the cost of admission to just get live events and not pay-per-views when other business models are doing a lot more for less, it does strike me as a stretch. But I guess I'll have to withhold judgment until we get something more official.
Yeah, the pricing options listed are $20 per month or an annual subscription of $150 per month. And that annual subscription drops the price to about $12.50 per month would be the going rate. And so, yeah, I mean, I really do think it comes down to initially right out of the gate, which groups are involved with, what content do they have? Is it a Ring of Honor? You know, I don't know how WWE feels about this. It would seem to be, you know, strong competition for WWE Network. And because, you know, with WWE investing in this, I think the automatic question became, well, is this something WWE affiliated in terms of, are they going to be having some say over content? And it sounds like they're acting completely independent of one another. It's just kind of an investment WWE made. We just don't know all the details on that. I think we can safely, Jake, rule out Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. It just kind of seems like they want to remain independent.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, they've been pretty hesitant to do anything that would compromise the amount of talent that they could bring in, you know, for their shows. And I think going on a streaming service would be something that might violate some of those contracts that prevent people from doing a lot of indies.
No, I mean, it's potentially exciting. I mean, without knowing many details about it, for the super fan especially, but if they do get more mainstream groups or just groups with more mainstream, more of a mainstream identity, that, I mean, that's really the key. I mean, there's certainly speculation of some of the UK groups that have caught fire in the UK. And you know, who knows how big or small, if they have any limitations as far as, you know, can your backyard wrestling group end up on this thing if you want it to be? We just don't know. Maybe something in Japan, maybe Mexico. I'm not quite sure who exactly is going to be involved in this. But the idea of someone streaming this on a reliable stream, I mean, that's the big question mark. They've had successful events in the past. But I guess because we've been burned so many times, just as wrestling fans, and I'm sure we're not alone, it's just the technology is there. I mean, it all sounds great. But I'm still, you know, until we actually see them broadcast a big event live without any kind of hiccups, you know, I'm still going to have that little concern that, is this actually going to work? I mean, it's really, Jake, it's no different than what we had going into WWE Network when they first started streaming. It was the big question mark. You know, going into that WrestleMania, it wasn't so much what's going to happen as much as it was, God, is this going to work? This is a big gamble to go live for the first time with such a major event. And hopefully, I mean, you're an IT guy. I mean, do you think the technology is there that's not going to be an issue for them?
I think the biggest issue always comes down to bandwidth. You know, who is going to be the backbone for this? How, you know, how well are they equipped to handle traffic? You know, it may be that an ROH pay-per-view or something may be the biggest thing this company has ever streamed, for all we know. And so, you know, WWE went into the network having partnered with MLB Networks and the successful MLB TV app and their streaming service. And so they just kind of grafted WWE's content onto the framework that was already in place and had successfully worked for years. And there were still, you know, quite a few hiccups that had to be conquered. And I think they've mostly gotten past that at this point, even though we still hear, you know, a variety of complaints just about every time we have a show that's could be or could not be related to what they're doing. So it's always a big question mark. Even, you know, it's hard without a lot of capital to build a technological infrastructure to stream massive quantities of media out. You know, it would probably baffle some people just how large you know, the hardware requirements are for Netflix to operate or something like that. I mean, it's thousands and thousands of servers stretched across the globe, and obviously we're not talking about that level of commitment here, but it will always be a question until it's proven that it absolutely works 100%.
They have launched apps on Roku and Apple TV that started earlier this month, so they've been getting prepared for this, and you know, that will make it a little more accessible for people, obviously. Can this be, how big do you see, what's the upside on this? It's so hard to say without knowing who they have tied in, but if you are an independent wrestling group, if you're, you know, a promoter out there, without knowing what the terms are of a deal like this, doing business with Flow Sports, I mean, how exciting is this that you have Flow Sports looking into this, WWE at least asking in surveys their audience about independent wrestling and their interest level in it? I mean, is this a great time to be an independent wrestling group, or is this just kind of potentially fool's gold?
It depends on what you think WWE's motivation behind investing in this is. I mean, is it, you know, altruistic in a sense that they think that, well, you know, will this type of streaming service work outside of WWE? And, you know, if it comes to that, you know, could we bring content to our own network if this proves to be a success? I mean, I have a hard time believing that this is much more than a test, and for WWE anyway. I mean, just because $20 a month for a streaming service that is, you know, as far as premium content goes, is pretty strapped at the moment. I think it's a lot to ask from people. And so maybe it's, you know, if you're an independent wrestling promoter and you want, you know, and you don't have a lot of options and you do want to get your content out there. And I mean, we don't know how much they're paying, you know, for content. We don't know how much people would stand to profit from this. But if you don't have any infrastructure yourself and you don't want to put up a website and you don't want to take a risk of having a bad streaming experience, maybe this is something that could work for you. But from, you know, the big picture angle, I have to imagine WWE is just using this as a trial to see if independent content can be a success and if they want to bring it onto their own platform.
I mean, it's exciting from the standpoint that you've always, you know, I'm sure there's been so many groups over the years, going back to ECW, and I'm sure there are others, but that's the one that always jumped out, like, boy, had the technology been there, as popular as they seem to be with that online crowd back in the day, and then the newsletter readers and everything else, if there'd only been something like this back then, who knows? I mean, I guess if you are an independent promoter and you have a good product and it's just, gosh, we just don't have the means. We can't step up and compete with WWE. I mean, it has to be exciting on that level. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some people that are going to put their product out there and be very excited, Jake, and find out that, oh, well, maybe I'm not as good at this as I thought, or there's just not interest. Maybe there's so much content available that I'm just kind of being left in the dust. I mean, it's just, it's going to be different, I think, for each promotion. Just without, again, we don't know all the details on this, but if there's enough content out there, whether it's on Flow Sports, if there's something separate on WWE Network, someone's going to get lost in the shuffle. And, you know, you just kind of hope that the cream rises to the top.
Yeah, that would have to be it. I mean, I think the biggest conversation, you know, that we're all going to be having as this week goes on is like, what is a viable streaming model for pro wrestling? You know, can anybody get away with charging $20 a month? Can we get away with having, pardon me, three or four of these companies out there? You know, you're going to have WWE Network, you're going to have Flow Sports, and you know, you're going to have, I guess, you know, the Fight Network if TNA is going to end up on there. I mean, what does this look like? Can these all be a success? And I mean, it's going to be a lot riskier a proposition than I think people might have realized going into this.
I mentioned you're an IT guy. Is technology headed to the point that, yeah, this makes sense for now, but there's going to also come a time where this is going to be something a lot of these groups can do in-house?
Well, that's just it. I think some of them already do fairly successfully run iPay-per-views, and you know, they get to keep all the money for that. And so you'd have to be able to sell them on the idea that, well, you know, you can forego all of the infrastructure expense and we'll pay you X amount of dollars to host your content and you'll get greater exposure. I mean, it's going to be something, you know, from an economic standpoint, that a lot of these promotions who already do run successful iPay-per-view businesses, you know, does this make any sense for us? I mean, or you know, is the stress that gets removed by having somebody else handle this worth it? And so I think that will play itself out over time, but it is going to be something that people are going to have to run the numbers for. We just don't have that in front of us at the moment.
Okay, again, without knowing what the everything is as far as WWE's involvement or lack thereof, is it kind of the Wild West right now as far as trying to acquire content? If, let's say, WWE is operating independently and they're sending out these surveys because they want to have their own independent section, and now you have this, and you mentioned Fight Network looking to do their thing if they can get their hands on TNA. I mean, is it just a complete free-for-all at this point, do you believe?
It certainly seems that way. I mean, you hate to term something the Wild West just because you know, it is people actually, you know, changing, you know, money changing hands and people making deals and you know, that kind of thing. And so does it have that feel to it where it's just like anything can happen? Yeah, I think so. At this point, you're just trying to figure out what exactly, you know, the future of this looks like. And I think until we see a few business models out there and a few price points and people, you know, out there deciding what they want to subscribe to, it's going to be tough to predict.
Hey, before we move into TNA, I just want to give people a heads up that Jake Barnett will be handling the live coverage of WWE Raw tonight. Members, there will not be a Q&A audio show this week. I am actually going to Raw in person tonight, and so Jake will be your Huckleberry for live coverage. And with me heading out a little bit early today, there's just not going to be time. And then the tail end of this week, I'm actually going to be out of town for a night. And so we'll get back on track with Q&A. But Jake will be have you covered with live coverage tonight. I should be home early enough to record a member-exclusive audio review of the show. If not, it'll be up on Tuesday morning. And then I will be doing live coverage of WWE SmackDown. So Jake and I are kind of swapping spots this week. And then things will go back to normal for the Halloween edition of WWE Raw. But join Jake for live coverage of WWE Raw, beginning with the show. I'm not going to ask Jake to do the pre-show coverage. It's very monotonous and boring, but I'm sure you can find what matches are going to be available on Raw some other way. WWE puts them out on Twitter, for instance, so you can always check that out. But live coverage begins with Raw, right there at 7 Central, 8 Eastern Time. Be sure to join Jake for that. Okay, now, as far as the TNA situation is concerned, Jake, over the weekend, well, actually Friday would have been, the Nashville Chancery Court ended up unsealing some documents pertaining to Billy Corgan's lawsuit against TNA. The company executives named in this are Dixie Carter, her husband Serge Salinas, and the company CFO Dean Broadhead. And, I mean, essentially, Jake, Billy's using the word insolvent to describe TNA's situation. And what that means is they don't have the money to pay their bills. And in doing so, he's essentially looking to take over the voting rights of Dixie Carter and the ability to replace management members. And, I mean, there's still no telling how, you know, what he has to stand on from a legal standpoint. There should be more documents unsealed. We'll have a better feel for that. I believe it's actually tomorrow even, or Wednesday at the latest. They're still scheduled to go to court this week. I can give you this update that as of last night, no settlement, and someone described them as being very far apart. But Jake, before we get into some of this other stuff, when I hear very, very far apart, I also look ahead and know there's a deadline coming. And typically, in negotiations, you know, just depending on how somebody wants to play it, they may be very far apart now. There's nothing saying they couldn't agree to terms at the last minute even, and manage to not even bring this to court. I guess it all just depends on what Billy Corgan is looking for.
Yeah, I mean, from the sound of the reporting, you know, on this, Billy loaned that money to, you know, TNA or Dixie Carter, depending on how that legally breaks down. I think it was directly to Dixie. And that was probably key to him, you know, taking control of her shares of the company. And his claim, at least based on what was written in the documents, is that he attempted to execute his end of that agreement when TNA defaulted on that loan. And they refused to comply with the terms that were, you know, part of that loan agreement. And that prompted him to file not only the lawsuit, but that Uniform Commercial Code loan with the state of Tennessee. And so all that sort of happened coming out of Bound for Glory. And it appears, at least, that they are heading to court to try and settle, you know, exactly who is the rightful, you know, president or majority owner of TNA. And Dixie is attempting to reassert, you know, that she is financially solvent and that, you know, the agreement that she made with Billy doesn't have any merit, or, you know, his idea of the terms of that agreement don't have any merit. And he's asking for them to prove in court that they are financially solvent. And it seems like the longer this plays out, the worse it gets for TNA, you know, considering that they just had another lawsuit kind of pop up over the weekend for some money that they borrowed to pay insurance premiums. And, you know, the other streaming, you know, stuff that's happening this week, which could impact, you know, the value of their tape library or what they think it is. Because I think that's really the only asset that Dixie has to hold up, you know, as an actual asset in as part of this court proceeding, because her other, you know, her deal with Aerolux essentially transferred all of the company's assets directly to them.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of speculation from people that Anthem Sports and Entertainment, that's the group that is offering or has said they've provided TNA with the funding and are willing to repay Billy Corgan the money he invested. And there's been a lot of speculation that Anthem is essentially just doing another loan, and everything's going to continue to be as is with, you know, Anthem just giving them some money. You know, buy, I don't know if it's how it would be structured, but essentially either a loan or buying into this company at, in some way, and that Dixie Carter would continue to run it. And I just don't believe that's the case. I think Anthem Sports is looking to buy into TNA significantly, get majority ownership of this thing. There's been a lot of talk with people that Dixie Carter would get a fancy title out of this, but it would just kind of be a figurehead position. I think what we're seeing with Anthem, Jake, is that their announcement, I think it's a couple of different things. I think the fact that they announced that they're willing to provide TNA or have provided them with the funding to repay Corgan, I think they're trying to position this as he's the bad guy if this drags on. You know, that could be some of the motive here. And I think the reason that I don't think it's necessarily just to hand Dixie Carter more money to lose is that they can't announce anything because of this lawsuit. So if Anthem is looking to, I mean, if you're not buying this company, why would you just go, yeah, here's some money, and then here's some money, we want to give you extra money to pay off Billy Corgan. I think Anthem wants to buy this company, and it's not going to be, and Dixie might get a fancy title, but that's about it. And that, you know, they're looking to become majority owners of TNA Impact Wrestling. And everything I've heard is that Aerolux would be involved, the other company that Dixie has done business with that actually has a lien against the company. Sounds like Anthem and Aerolux are very much on the same page. And that I think the lawsuit that Billy has filed is what's holding this up. And I guess, you know, just your thoughts on that before we get into some more details of that.
Well, they're clearly trying to get Billy out of the picture, you know, legally. And you know, whether his loan and the terms that he placed on that loan, you know, are able to be held up in court, I guess is an open question. But the fact that Anthem Sports is willing to buy him out says that they're probably a little worried about it. And so, you know, I think what Dixie signed away in that agreement with Billy is going to be the question that really gets solved in this lawsuit. And if Billy is able to kind of wrestle away executive control of the company as a result of his loan to Dixie Carter, then it would be, you know, it would become his problem and not hers anymore. And I don't know, you know, how that's necessarily a good thing for Billy Corgan, but that would be the outcome of this lawsuit.
Yeah, I think no matter who ends up in control of this, I mean, everything points to the company entering some level of bankruptcy. And, you know, if Anthem or Billy Corgan gets a hold of it, I think that's the next logical move, is that somehow this company goes into bankruptcy, not the type that just closes the doors and it's all over, because why would you buy a company for that purpose, but rather just to kind of to restructure some things and protect themselves. And so I think that's where, you know, both sides are looking at this. And with Anthem, I mean, I had somebody just today tell me that if Billy doesn't settle, he could be in a position to lose it all. And they're offering, you know, according to their own press release, the money he's invested. And I think that's the key line, is that he's, okay, he invested some money into this company. Whatever that amount is, they're willing to pay that. The question becomes, how much are they willing to pay on top of that? Because you don't just invest into a company or provide a loan to somebody unless, you know, family member, here's $20. You don't ask for $25 back. This is business. So I don't think Billy Corgan is going to invest, you know, however much money he has and just go, well, yeah, I'll take that back and move on. It's going to be money on top of that. And where it becomes even more complicated, Jake, is because of all this legal maneuvering, now you're talking legal fees on top of that amount as well. So I don't think this is just what Anthem is saying. I think it would be, I don't know that Billy Corgan is going to, obviously he's not at this point. I mean, things can change before the hearing, but at this point, I don't think he's content with just, yeah, thanks, I'll take my money back and move on. I think he is looking to get, because at that, basically, Jake, at that point, it becomes a loss for him. If he just gets back that money, he's not getting back his legal fees. He's not, you know, there's no return on that investment. And so I think that is probably the holdup, along with the possibility that doesn't matter, Billy wants to see this through either way.
Yeah, it sure appears that way. I mean, and the, you know, the crux of it is, you know, not only was there, you know, as part of executing the agreement with TNA and the terms of his loan that he has asserted in court, He was, you know, not only owed his money plus interest, but, you know, if he chose, he could turn that loan into points in the company.
Right.
And, you know, and at that point, essentially become majority owner. So it's going to be determining whether that loan was entered into legally by all the parties and whether, you know, Dixie Carter, in the position that she was already in, compromised, having already signed over, you know, so much of the company's assets to Aerolux and already taking on an initial loan from Anthem and the, you know, the cavalcade of lawsuits that have followed from other debtors. You know, was she in a position to sign away all that stake in the company to Billy Corgan and without, you know, the prior approval of her other partners? And so they're going to have to sort all that out in court. I have a feeling it's going to get really ugly. And I mean, there is essentially the possibility that Billy Corgan could walk away with nothing if he pursues it and never settles and loses the lawsuit.
There is. But yeah, I mean, and then I think the other way of looking at this too is if he were to gain control of the company, then these other parties that are currently teamed up with Dixie, Anthem and Aerolux, do they turn around and, you know, there may be more legal maneuvering because they'd be the ones who would potentially be out of, you know, the money that they have put into this. I mean, it's just, unless they somehow can settle this lawsuit, or, I mean, there's just, I guess there's a number of ways this could go. But it just kind of seems like it's none of this is going to be good news for Dixie Carter unless she's just really excited about her figurehead position.
Yeah, I mean, they could tie this up in court for a long time with appeals and, you know, attempting to resolve this, you know, before the company can even move forward on any of their other lawsuits. And then you have the, you know, the state of Tennessee that can come and just start repossessing things at any time because it's an ugly situation for TNA. And not only do they have major infighting among, you know, the stakeholders in the company, they also have, you know, major consequences that are just kind of hanging over them with these other lawsuits and other debts and all these things that are going to have to be resolved before they can continue to function as a, you know, as a company. And so, you know, even if Billy were to win this lawsuit and execute control, he still has a long hill to climb before he can really call, you know, TNA successful. It's probably going to require them to go through some kind of bankruptcy. All the debt, you know, the creditors are going to have to be paid something, even if it's just, you know, taking a huge haircut and taking pennies on the dollar for what they're owed. They have to be made whole, you know, according to, you know, the rules of bankruptcy. And then after it's over, after some crazy amount of time, you know, how, you know, what does that mean for, you know, TNA, you know, on television and on pay-per-view and running events? It's all very hazy at the moment. And it's really going to, you know, the fate of the company is going to be decided in court at this point.
It was a rough weekend for us with our Minnesota Vikings being exposed the way they were in their horrible offensive line. How would you like to have been Billy Corgan's lawyer, spending his weekend looking over 17,000 pages of documentation that TNA provided?
That was, I mean, it's intense. You know, I'm sure they scan that stuff and they run it through, you know, optical character recognition software, and then it becomes, you know, searching for terms, and, you know, they gotta, somebody has to go through all of this eventually, and it's just a matter of putting it all together. But, you know, there were even more documents that were requested, but TNA declined to provide to in response to the question of their solvency because they said it would be impossible to retrieve and put together all of the correspondence about their debts because, you know, it would entail tens of thousands of documents. And so there's still quite a bit, you know, that has been left unanswered thus far. And we'll see if the court will order more discovery after, you know, the preliminary hearings on the suit.
Yeah, more details to come this week for sure, with those new version of the lawsuit expected to be unsealed on Tuesday. We'll see where things go. But I just one thing for me anyway to close it out on the TNA situation is, you know, I keep hearing from people who kind of want this to be over and have Anthem take control of this somehow, or, you know, just that side of things they basically want Billy Corgan to settle. And, you know, the point they continue to make is essentially that not only is he in position to lose it all, but this could end up getting tied up in court somehow. TNA could be forced to file bankruptcy. It doesn't go on, and they're, you know, then that way nobody wins. And I guess the thing I say to that, Jake, is essentially that, okay, but you can look at it both ways. I mean, yes, you can say that that could happen and Billy could just drop his lawsuit and move on, but they could just as easily turn around and sell this company to Billy Corgan and settle that way with him. So, I mean, I'm just not going to buy into any finger-pointing that Billy Corgan's the bad guy in this, because, I mean, he's getting his day in court, and the same thing goes for the other side. You know, they have their, you know, whatever their position is on this, they have it, and they get the right to try to see this thing through as well. And so I think there's some finger pointing going on, and I'm just not going to fall into that. I'm not going to play that game.
Yeah, I hesitate to put labels on anybody here, you know, as a bad actor, aside from, you know, the existing TNA management that got them into this mess in the first place. I mean, they've really dug themselves quite a hole here. And you've had, you know, three companies, Aerolux, Anthem, and now, you know, Billy Corgan have, you know, entered into this in good faith in an attempt to fix the company. And now they're all trying to fight over who gets to, you know, sort of keep the scraps now that the thing is all falling apart. So it's an ugly legal situation, but I don't know if you can necessarily universally paint one party as being the bad guy quite yet. We're going to have that sorted out in court.
Well, hey, everybody, that is going to do it for us today, but I do want to give you a heads up that the WWE conference call is also coming up on Thursday morning. I'll be doing some live updates on that, where Vince McMahon speaks with the people in the financial world, and we should know the latest WWE network number. So with the TNA stuff going on, Flow Sports, the WWE, and their conference call, it's going to be a crazy week. And if you were interested in joining Jake Barnett and I on the .NET Weekly audio show that I talk about often on this show, our flagship show, Thursday is when he and I are going to be getting together, coming out of that WWE conference call. And we should have a lot to talk about with the TNA situation. Again, Flow Sports, hopefully we'll know more before then about that dynamic. And it's going to be a really interesting week. And so great time to sign up for membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. Visit the main page for more details. You'll see the subscription area. Once you're in there, three different pricing options. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. You can bring that price down by signing up for either our six-month or annual membership option. And the annual membership brings that price down to an average of $5.50 a month. Again, all the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. And if you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. And for that matter, Jake, they don't want to ask you about subscriptions, but how can people find you on Twitter?
Well, they can find me at Barnett Jake, and that's I think it was fairly easy. I could spell it, but I think people could figure it out.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one, at Barnett Jake, and I will be back tomorrow in this slot discussing WWE Raw with my in-person perspective on that, unless more craziness happens between now and then. But Jake, thank you very much for joining me today, and I look forward to chatting with you again on Thursday.
Always a pleasure to be here.